So imagine this. A Detroit rock band from the 80s disappears from the music scene until a producer in England rediscovers them and helps them put out a new album. Well, that's what happened to our next guests. They call themselves Art in America, the band name for three siblings from Michigan, Chris, Dan, and Shoshone Flynn. After nearly 30 years, they are out with a new album. Here's Someday.
Holding out for something. Time is counting down. The turnaround is closer every day.
That's Chris Flynn on lead vocals. Chris joins us now via Skype from his home in California. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Hello, Cynthia.
Good to have you with us. And joining us in the studio, we have his sister, Shoshone Flynn. Hello.
Hi, good to be here.
And she does vocals and harp. And brother Dan Flynn is here. He is the drummer. Welcome.
Hi, Cindy.
Good to have you guys with us. So Art in America grew out of years of you guys performing in clubs around Michigan through the 70s and the early 80s. And your debut album, Art in America, came out in 1983. Here you are 30 years later. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
You know, I'll talk to you first, Chris. We hear your vocals clearly, and they're beautiful on the album. And you came of age in that kind of progressive art rock era when we had King Crimson and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Genesis. And am I right? It seems you're proudly flying that flag today in 2013?
Well, somewhat. I'm still much more interested in writing a good 3-minute song. I find it much more of a challenge.
Well, that is true. That is true. And the reason you want to write a 3-minute song, I mean, it was always traditional wisdom. That's what fit in radio.
Yeah. I guess that was AOR radio in the 70s and 80s. But it was always, we were weaned on the Beatles and the British Invasion albums and bands in the, I guess it was the 60s.
That's right.
So that's kind of always been my first love, although I do have a great love of progressive rock.
And really, that was the kind of statement that you guys were making, wasn't it, Shoshone, in 83 when you recorded?
Yes, it was. I think more of our longer songs, the more symphonic or orchestra pieces, were for live concerts, some of those production pieces, and when you could really embellish and fill out the music.
So, Dan, your family moved from a small town in Ohio to Detroit, and that was in the late 60s. And were you playing music by then?
Yes. Yes, we were. At least my brother and I had been in a band back in Lakewood, just briefly, and cut our teeth on just the bar, all the bar scene here. And
paid our dues for sure. You know, you stay up till 3 a.m, you schlep all your stuff, you're your own roadie. Oh, man.
And there were so many groups out of Detroit from that era in the 70s and the 80s when I think about that. And you guys, you know, got that album recorded in 83. So, Chris, what caused you to fold your tent and stop recording?
Well, we had an uneventful second record that we recorded in Miami. And we just didn't care for the result. So we kind of all moved to Los Angeles all together and tried to get something going out here at that point. I think this must have been about 1986 or 85 maybe. And we ran into a pay-to-play bar scene out here, and we had a real difficult time of it in terms of just having a live band.
So roll ahead 30 years after you have kind of said, all right, bad experience, we're done. You find out English producer David Henschel wants to work with you. And this is a producer who has worked with Elton John and Genesis and Queen. So how did he find you guys? How did he find this band of siblings from Detroit?
Well, this is Chris. I got a call. I work in a cubicle all day. I'm cubicle bound, as they say. And I got a call from an American agent by the name of Nick. I forget his last name. But he said he represented David Henschel. And the next thing I know about, he said he's looking for a live active band, and naturally I said we were, even though we hadn't played together in some time. But I had been writing all these years, and Dan and Catherine had kept up on their instruments. And I kind of lied through my teeth and said, well, we're your man.
And, practicing in the garage every night.
yeah, we're
up and running.
Yeah. Essentially, this is a self-produced album. And we released it ourselves, and of course we're looking for a recording deal, but it's It's been a tough road to hoe.
But, the most amazing thing to me was being able to work with David Henschel, a master producer. I mean, these days, everybody wants to record their own song, mm-hmm. and they're in their garage recording on Pro Tools. But to be able to work with somebody like that who's worked with Elton John and some of the Beatles, and he really knows how to pull out the best in your music, how to weave in certain instruments, when to leave it empty, when to put in some orchestration. I remember just sitting there in the studio and just being amazed and feeling I wanted to relish every second out of it. It was so special.
And how was it being back together, being in a studio? Dan, here you were recording again.
What I remember was the respect we were given, and I'd forgotten what that was like. And, we're setting up our instruments, and there was a bunch of engineers that were in town for the NAMM convention. And they were there to see David work, and they were in awe of him, and they said, "What are you doing now?" And he goes, "Well, I'm producing Art in America's new record." And, boy, did my ego swell, and I just, I've forgotten what that was like.
I'm speaking with the band Art in America. They are actually three siblings who moved to Detroit in the late 60s, Chris, Dan, and Shoshone Flynn. And after a 30-year hiatus, they are out with a new album that is called The Henschel Sessions, the CD, and they're looking for a recording deal for that. Chris, you're joining us from California, where you live now. You guys learned the hard way back in the 80s that the music business really is one that can be full of empty promises and people who are not the least bit interested in your vision. Has the music industry changed much in 30 years, do you think?
The music industry has kind of imploded. I mean, our band is sort of a Rip Van Winkle story. I mean, we went to sleep 30 years ago and woke up to find that everything had changed. And now it's not about A&R guys and sweetheart deals and record payola and that kind of thing. It's all about Spotify. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the process of promoting ourselves, and we're getting quite a few new fans in different parts of the world. So that's what's changed for us, is that now we're at the helm.
When you think about it, when you last released an album in 1983, no websites, no internet, no
that's
Spotify,
right.
No YouTube. On the other hand, it's very, very hard, isn't it, to crack the radio market?
Oh, yes, it is.
To get that record the airplay.
Yeah, it is. And I think the other part of it, too, is to garner the money for your recording is just about impossible unless you're Adele or something. I mean, we did crowdfunding, and we've reached out to all of our fan base, but it's still so many top-notch artists are struggling, and that's the difficult part of it. You can't woo an A&R rep mm-hmm. like you used to be able to do. Just bring them to your concert and have them instantly go, okay, here's the money.
We opened the interview with the track "Someday," which I loved. It's like your big ballad. I want to take a listen now to "I Am I," which is the second track on the Henschel Sessions with Art in America. You haven't lost your chops. What is it that you feel, Chris, as you write these songs that you're saying and that you want to get across to the people who are listening to your music?
These are all highly personal songs. I began that song in my apartment after seeing a cartoon in the New Yorker, I think it was. It was a couple of guys standing outside of the World Trade Center. I guess it was the holes in the ground. And, and they were stating, "Well, Bob, it looks like just a hole to me." And I thought that was kind of synonymous with my own life. So that was the first line of "I Am I." It just seems like one big hole to me. I was in a dark place. And so that song is about my journey out of that dark place and kind of getting control of myself and getting self-assured and feeling confident about my writing and my life.
How has it been over the years watching other Michigan acts, come forth, emerge, and then hit it very big, like Eminem, Kid Rock, for instance?
Yes.
What was that like?
It is difficult because we got so close, so close. And so we hope that with this new album that we'll be able to have a little bit more success than we did before. I was very happy with the success that we did have, though, being able to play with some of the greats, Roxy Music, Bill Bruford, just a lot of the big name acts, Adam Ant back then.
Mm-hmm. King Crimson.
Yeah, King Crimson. That was fun. And to be able to play Pine Knob and Heart Plaza. And so I don't feel that we didn't make it in a sense. I had moved on with my life, becoming a teacher and an artist and still being a musician. So I wasn't bitter. It's just I do feel that now we have a second chance.
And your hopes stand for Art in America, looking ahead?
Success. Success. I was also very happy with the success of the first record. Turning on the television and seeing my face one morning, a close shot of my face, that was pretty thrilling back then. In regards to the Detroit scene, and I've actually been very proud of it because I always knew Detroit had tons of talent, and I played with some of the best. And I always knew it was here, and it still is here. I mean, there's been an incredible amount of great acts that really don't seem to garner the attention they should, like SRC, if anybody remembers them.
Scott Richard,
yes. Yeah, very, very good band. And the Algebra Mothers, which was a type of a punk King Crimson type band that I used to play with. A very talented band, Gerald Collins, and he's also playing right now.
Chris Flynn, what do you think it will take to get this Henschel Sessions CD into the mainstream, get it out there and push it so that America can hear what Art in America can do?
I think what it's going to take is what's happening now, and that is we need to continue building a fan base through Facebook and the different streaming sites. Every time I think someone clicks on yes, they also get shoved one of our songs as something that they might like. So I think eventually that is going to build for us, and I'm hoping that it's sooner rather than later. And I think that's the way it's going to happen. I'm sort of hoping that some record company comes in like an angel and swoops in and gives us $100,000 to finish the album. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to build our fan base, and hopefully it gets to a point where it gets seen.
I have to ask, does having David Henschel in on your team, does that help at all? Is he able to advance your cause out there, or does he kind of produce and say, all right, here you are, gang, good luck?
That's an excellent question. He has been very supportive. He's played it for people that he knows. But again, the industry has changed, and the connections that he had don't necessarily play out the way that they would have 20 years ago. So he is also doing the best that he can to promote the band. So it's just, I think, going to take the right person listening and the right sequence of events.
That was Shoshone Flynn, who does vocals and harp, joined here in the studio by her brother Dan Flynn, who's the drummer. And then joining us from his home in California is vocalist and guitarist and writer Chris Flynn. And the band is Art in America. And this disc is called The Henschel Sessions. Thanks so much to all of you for joining us today.
Thank you
Thank
for
you.
Having us.
Thank you.